like to see young people full of the Holy Ghost, get on with it. Now, that's just exactly what I told him. Don't mess around. Get on with it. If God's called you, that call will not leave you, and it will grind at your heart until you fulfill what God has done, has spoken to you to do. So I'm thankful that you guys are fulfilling that call. Jordan and Morgan, we're glad that you're here. Pastor Keith, thank you for inviting me to come and be a part of this great day for missions and Speed the Light. I'm thankful for a missions-minded church, and this local church is that. One of the highlights of my ministry, and I tell this story everywhere, one of the highlights of my ministry was coming into this church one day when you were between pastors, and Daniel Andrews made a presentation about going to wherever he was going, and Venezuela, wasn't it? And I'll never forget that as long as I live. Then I came up to preach, and I said, I'm a guest speaker, and I'm not supposed to take an offering, but I sure feel like taking one. And somebody said, call the ushers. So I did. And I don't remember exactly what he needed that day, but whatever he needed is what we got that day. And it turned some things around right here in that service that day. Woo! I tell you what, when you support the will of God, support the cause of the kingdom, God will always honor that, and he will bless that. So thank you for inviting me to come. We are going to share with you, I've got, for those churches that take the chance and invite me and actually let me come, I'm giving you some insight. This past year, our theme for Speed the Light was the human right, and it continues to be that. But next year, we're looking at the theme, it's time. Folks, if there's ever been a time for us to get the gospel out, now's the time. I don't even know if people realize it or not, but this world is setting itself up for the end. You know what people are looking for, even with this election? People are looking for somebody to come on the scene and say, I have the answer. I have the answer. And that's what the world is looking for, somebody to step up and say, I have the answer. We're setting ourselves up for somebody who is going to be called the Antichrist. I'm not saying that the political candidates are the Antichrist. I'm not saying that whatsoever. Almost, but not. We're setting ourselves up for that, though, in this whole world. And it's going to just be so easy for somebody to step in and take the reins of this whole world and take control. So we need to get the gospel out, because I'm telling you, when all that happens, I'm planning on being out of here. Believe in Jesus, that Jesus is coming soon, and we must share this gospel with as many people as we can, as quickly as we can. So I want to talk to you today for a little while on the subject of obedience. Not a very popular subject sometimes, especially when you're in youth ministry and talk about it to young people. It's not always a very popular thing, and I'm so glad to see this group of students sitting here on these front two or three rows. God bless you guys. It's so good to see you. I'm honored that you are here today. Honored that you are supporting the kingdom of God in your local church. So turn with me this morning, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 26. And we're going to share some scripture from Acts, chapter 26. Thank you so much for what you have already done for Speed the Light. As you know, Speed the Light is the ministry of the Assemblies of God Youth Department that purchases sound equipment, vehicles, other things, as you heard Pastor Jordan mention today, setting up the Wi-Fi hotspots. The very first thing they see when those refugees log on is a presentation of the gospel. They can't do anything about it because we've got it pre-programmed. I don't know how that all works, but Mr. Computer Technology can tell you all that there. But we're doing something now for missionaries in Africa. We are providing, like we did in Cuba, we are providing Kindles for missionaries and Bible students in Africa. They're downloading curriculum for 38 Bible courses, enough for an associate's degree. And we are providing that through Speed the Light. God is using that to help train our native pastors in Africa. And it is it's becoming more and more difficult to do ministry in Africa because of the rise of Islam. And so it's almost life-threatening for a person to carry a Bible or a Bible commentary around in some parts of that country. But they carry a Kindle around, the little computerized thing, and nobody asks any questions. So God is helping us to get that, to get the gospel and the training that those people need to do ministry in the whole continent of Africa. And I'm so excited about what God is doing. I want to share some things with you that God is doing here as we go throughout the service today. But I'm very thankful also, just mention this in passing, I'm thankful for a church and a pastor that allows the moving of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation on a Sunday morning. As he explained, it's in the scripture. And besides that, that's who we are. So, if you don't like it, and if you don't want it, it won't jump on you. Hallelujah. But I'm thankful for what God has done, what I've already sensed in this service today. Acts chapter 26, we're going to read beginning with verse number 12. Paul is actually giving testimony before King Agrippa. And he says, while thus occupied, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And scripture says, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I want to just share with you a message today, as I mentioned, on the simple subject of obedience. When we talk about obedience, it's just a matter of doing what the Lord said. Simple enough. But sometimes we really have a hard time, number one, making sure it's what the Lord said, and number two, actually following through on what God has told us to do. In our text, Paul stands before King Agrippa and his wife Bernice and tells him of his conversion experience. He said, I saw a great light, and he describes this light that he saw as being brighter than the sun. Now, there is only one light that I know of that could be brighter than the sun. As I drove in this morning on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day, I was driving from Little Rock, so obviously facing east as I was coming in part of the way, and I had to put my shade down and put some sunglasses on because that sun was so blinding to my sight. But there's only one light that I know of that is brighter than that. And this light that Paul saw has made a recurring appearance to men on earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the earth was created or beginning to be created by God, and God created the earth really out of absolutely nothing. And then in verse number 3 of Genesis 1, the very first words ever recorded that we have written down were these words, and God spoke them. He said, let there be light. It's interesting to note that the very first thing that God wanted for this newly formed earth was light. He then divided the light from the darkness, and the scripture says this took place on the first day. Then you continue to read, and you know that since that time throughout the Bible, light represents truth, goodness, God's presence, His love, and His redemptive work. And the list could go on and on. But then as you go on through Genesis 1, you see in verses 14 to 19 that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And He did this on the fourth day. Now my question to us today is, if He created light on the first day, but He didn't create the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day, between day one and day four, where did the light come from? Well, there is more than enough scripture to indicate that the source of the light was the radiance of the Lord Himself, the radiance of the Son of God. Throughout scripture, Jesus is portrayed as the giver of light. Psalm 18:28, "You will light my lamp. The Lord will enlighten my darkness." Then Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, that great messianic prophecy. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." When Jesus was born, the old prophet Simeon took Him inside the temple and held Him in his arms and stated that this baby is going to be a light that will bring salvation to and revelation to the Gentiles. Then John chapter 1 accurately describes Jesus as the light. In chapter 1 of John, verse 1, it says He is the light of men. In verse 5, the scripture calls Him a light shining in the darkness. In verse number 9, it says He is the true light, and He gives light to every man coming into the world. Then Jesus further described Himself and declared Himself to be the light of the world, saying, "He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Hallelujah. Then He goes on to say that not only is He the light of the world, but He tells us that we are the light of the world. We are a city set on a hill. Hallelujah. From the beginning of time, the Father said, "Let there be light." And since that time, this light has been shining for the whole world to see. Hallelujah. Moses saw that light. David saw that light. Isaiah saw that light. John saw that light. Paul encountered that light. Hallelujah. Hank Williams said he saw the light, but he also had a tear in his beard, so I'm not sure. The light began to shine on day one when God said, "Let there be light." The light has continued to shine from the beginning. But from the beginning, the light that has illuminated this world and illuminated the garden is the same light. The light that shone between day one and day four is the same light that, according to Revelation chapter 21, will illuminate that celestial city in the land of endless day. There is no need for the sun or the moon or the star, for the Lamb of God will be the light of that city. We used to have a time singing it. "I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I'm going where the Lamb is the light." Hallelujah. It is that light that we want to shine around this whole world. It is the light of Jesus. It is the light of the gospel. After Paul saw that light on the road to Damascus, his whole life changed. It is a life-changing light, is it not? And it became his mission to obey the vision that God gave him there. And after that, after reaching the highs and the lows of ministry in his life, then Paul could stand before King Agrippa and say, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." I was not, Paul was relentless in his obedience to the call of God. The only way to keep shining that light is just keep obeying. Keep obeying the Great Commission. You see, the will of God is only accomplished through our obedience. That's a good place to say amen. The will of God is only accomplished through our surrender and obedience to the will of God. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. Now, when he said go into the world and preach the gospel to every person, if you will break that down in the Greek, that means every person. Everybody needs to hear this gospel. We live in a culture in which it does no good now to send our missionaries around the world if we are not going to give them the equipment and the tools they need for effective ministry in the 21st century. Your pastor and your youth pastor, these guys would not be very effective in their ministry if they didn't have some things to work with, like a vehicle to drive. It'd be hard for him to get from his house to the office and to the hospital and to the funeral home and to wherever he needs to do ministry. It'd be hard for him to get from his home and do all the things that he needs to do around town and do all the things he needs to do driving to Jonesboro to visit somebody or Little Rock to visit somebody. It'd be hard to do that without a vehicle. That makes sense, doesn't it? And it's so hard for our missionaries to do what they need to do unless we equip them with what they need. But because of your generosity and because of young people like these and because of churches like yours, we have churches all around this state that are giving so generously, and we want to say thank you for doing that. And because of that, we have missionaries like Derek and Tammy Walker that just left last week to go to Mali. That's not Maui in Hawaii. That's Mali in Africa. And they got there just last week. And next week, they're going to have arrangements made to have a brand new vehicle to drive because of Speed the Light and because of churches like yours and because of young people like these. Hallelujah. That's what we do. For the last 70 years, we have been, 70 plus years now, we have been putting into the hands of missionaries the tools that they need. And it's because people have been obedient to the will of God and to the vision. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. There are churches that have heard that great commission. There are young people that have heard that great commission. There are pastors and leaders in churches that have heard that great commission. And we want to simply be obedient to that vision from heaven to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to report to you in the 70 plus year history of, now 72 years now, history of Speed the Light. Millions of dollars have been given so that missionaries can be equipped. The sun never sets on Speed the Light equipment around the world that's been purchased by the Arkansas District. And thank you for that. And in fact, in that 70-year period of time, there is one district in the Assemblies of God that has given more to Speed the Light than any other district in the Assemblies of God. And I'm happy to report to you that it is the Arkansas District of the Assemblies of God. So thank you. That same Arkansas that's usually number 47 or 48 in per capita income. Which tells me it's not about money, it's about heart. And people like you are following the will of God and simply obeying what God has said. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. We might not have had the same experience that Paul had on the road to Damascus, but all of us have heard the Great Commission, and the challenge for each of us is obedience to what he has called us to do and to be. Let me share with you a few things about obedience this morning. First of all, the purpose of obedience. He said, I was not disobedient in verse 19. I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. God told him his purpose. I want you to be a witness. I want you to share the good news. There's a reason we are called to obedience. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm a typical parent in some cases, because there are times when I've told my kids to do something and they ask the question, why? And my response is, I found my crowd here. because I said so. And if you don't do it, you'll have to stand for worship next time you have youth service. Because it'll be hard for you to sit down. And I'm sorry. I'm just that way. I'm just, y'all help me and pray for me. My daddy was that way. He had that problem. He was an astronomer. He put stripes on the sun. But there is a purpose. And when God tells us to do something, he has a purpose. Not just so he can say, well, because I want you to and you're my subject and you're my servant. No. His purpose is much higher for calling us to obedience. It is for the purpose of reaching the world with the gospel. There are billions of people. There's half this world's population that still has not heard an adequate witness of Jesus Christ. The reason we are obedient is so that souls can hear the gospel and receive forgiveness from their sin and have a place in heaven reserved for them. Oh, the world, you know, world evangelism is the actual reason that youth ministries began in the Assemblies of God on a national level. Years ago, young men went to the national youth department. His name was Ralph Harris. And when he showed up there as the first national Christ ambassadors president, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I have any CAs in here? Yeah, a few Christ antiques. And we're glad you're here. We need you. But he went to the national office in 1943, I believe it was, 1944. And they said, okay, Brother Harris, you've got 90 days to prove to us that youth ministry is valid in the Assemblies of God. And so he went to a broom closet, literally a broom closet. The scripture says, enter your closet. He did. He went into a broom closet in the headquarters building. They don't call it headquarters anymore. It's a resource center now. Let me tell you something. If they can take your papers, it's headquarters. But they went into headquarters building and started praying. God, here's the question, here's the prayer he prayed. God, give me worthwhile ideas so that the young people of this movement can reach around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Worthwhile ideas. And while he was in that prayer closet, the Lord gave him a what if moment. You ever had those? What if we were to provide vehicles? What if we were to provide equipment for missionaries? So that they could get the gospel to people quicker before Jesus comes. And he shared this quote in introducing this message. And if you'll show that on the next slide on the screen so I can get. He said these words, and I'm quoting. For years, we have sung, send the light. But Jesus is coming so soon, we have not time to merely send the light. We must speed the light of the gospel around this world. And that was his introduction to speed the light. And friend, because of that, youth ministry began. The purpose of youth ministry beginning in the Assemblies of God was not so we could have an event every once in a while, and not so we could have a camp every once in a while, not so we could get together and have fun every once in a while. The purpose in youth ministry beginning in the Assemblies of God was so that the world could hear that Jesus wants to save them from their sin. Praise God. The purpose of obedience. Then there's the pursuit of obedience. If you'll read verses 19 and 20 of that text, if you still have it open, if you don't, I'll just read it to you. You can trust me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout the region of Judea. Listen, obedience to the Great Commission is something that requires action. You got to do something to obey. You can't learn to swim on the bank. Paul took action. As soon as he was saved and filled with the Spirit, he took action. Verse 20 says he started in Damascus. Where was he? He was in Damascus. He started where he was. He did not wait, but he began his pursuit of obedience immediately. He began where he was. There are so many people in the church that are so concerned with what is next, they forget what is now. But the Lord is calling us to reach around the world. But he's calling us to start here and start now. As I told you, next year's theme, it's time. Now is the time. It's time. Some people, well, how am I going to win the world? What am I going to do? What, God, what do you want me to do for you? And there are people that might have asked that question today in this service already. God, what can I do for you? Well, two offering bags have passed for you already. What can we do? If you want to win the world, begin where you are. Volunteer for the nursery. If you want to win the world, offer to teach a Sunday school class. If you want to win the world, cook a meal for someone that's bereaved. If you want to win the world, just start where you are and do something for the kingdom of God. The ministry that I do and your pastor does and Brother Jordan, the ministry we do often reaches out further than the four walls of the church and into the community and into the world. But it would not happen today. Listen, the ministry that I have, I can speak for myself. It would not happen today had there not been some faithful saints years ago that had been willing to teach a beginner or primary Sunday school class. I've got a drawer full in my kitchen. I've got a drawer full of potholders that my grandmother made, and when she died, I got as many of them as I could get. She made them, and the purpose that she started making those potholders so that boys and girls and teenagers in their church that couldn't afford to go to camp, she sold those potholders so those kids could have money to go to camp. And those are kids that are baptized in the Holy Spirit today. Those are kids that are going in the ministry today because somebody said, I'll start where I am. And I'll begin to do something, whatever God is speaking to my heart about. I'll begin to do something where I am. Oh, their pursuit of obedience. People like that, their names will never be printed and they'll never be on a marquee, never be printed in a magazine or in a paper or publication. But their pursuit of obedience is still reaching around the world through my ministry and others' ministry. All pursuit of obedience is simply seeing a need and doing everything you can to meet that need. Several years ago, Phil Barber called me. He saw a need. Phil said, I need a boat and a motor. I said, Phil, are you crazy? I know you like to fish. Speed the Light's not getting you a boat and motor. No. He said, there are villages in Ecuador and along the Amazon River. There are villages that the only way I can get to them, there are no trails leading to the village. There are no roads that lead to the village. The only way I can get to them is by the mode of transportation that they have, and that's the river, the Amazon River. And so if I have a boat, I can perhaps get to them and tell them about the Lord, because these people that live in these villages have never, even for the first time, heard the name of Jesus. Never. Speed the Light bought that boat that you see in that picture right there. Speed the Light purchased that boat and bought a motor with it. And Phil and Deanna would take teams, and they would start, and they went to these little villages. And they would get out on the bank, and they would begin to tell people about the Lord. Just the simple message of John 3:16. Jesus was sent from God to die for their sins. They had never heard this message before. And many of them made Jesus the Lord of their lives and began to confess their sins and began to ask Jesus to come into their lives and make a decision to follow him. But you see, in many of those villages, and quite a few of them, in fact, they would get to, Phil reached the village chief, and the village chief would get saved. Now, when the village chief gets saved, everybody's going to get saved, whether they want to or not. And there are some areas where the whole community, the whole village got saved because of the gospel of Jesus. Now, in this particular picture, they are going to one of these communities that they've already been to, and you see a couple of people in the back of their heads in this picture, but they're going to a community where they've already been and witnessed, and now they've got that boat, they've got it loaded down with people and supplies, and they're on their way to a village to build a church. And they're putting Assemblies of God churches in those villages where one time they had never even heard the name of Jesus before. And it's because of Speed the Light. Arkansas Speed the Light purchased that boat. Arkansas Speed the Light is responsible for getting the gospel to entire villages that might not have ever heard, because somebody said, I see a need, and I want to pursue obedience with seeing that need. Oh, hallelujah. The purpose of obedience, the pursuit of obedience. But I want to also tell you, you can't deny that there's a price of obedience. Paul at this time was a prisoner waiting to go on trial in Rome for preaching the gospel. The Jews took him in the temple and tried to kill him. Paul and so many others have paid a great price to get this message of the gospel around the world. I want to ask you a question today, young person, mom and dad, grandparent. Are we willing to pay the price that might be required to make Jesus known? Are we willing to pay the price for every person to be granted this human right to know Jesus? I want to make a statement, young person. If you will remember this, things will be understood a lot clearer later on in life. Getting saved is the easiest thing in the world to do. But living for God will cost you something. Getting saved is the easiest thing. Living for God is going to cost you something. Obedience sometimes has a high price tag. There is a name that is too quickly fading from our history in the Assemblies of God. A name called J.W. Tucker. This, my friend, was a great missionary to the Congo. The picture that you see was taken in 1964 in front of the Little Rock Airport, just before Brother Tucker made his final flight to the Congo. When he got there, there was civil unrest, there was war going on, there was rebellion going on, and when he got back to the Congo, those who were leading the rebellion took him, and not just him, but some other American missionaries, they took him. He was the only AG missionary. They took him and imprisoned him with others, and finally, they took this missionary. He had been a missionary for years at this point. They took him, and they beat him to death and did not even give him a proper burial. Took him to the Nile River in Africa, threw his body in the Nile River where the crocodiles devoured his body. There's a price that must be paid sometimes. There's a price that must be paid. Just after this picture was taken, that's back when you could go right on back to the gate with your friends and everyone, before 9/11, in other words. You could go back to the gate and see your friends off. And one of his friends looked at him and said, "Brother Tucker," everyone was concerned about him, but he just kept feeling this call to go back to Africa. They said, "Brother Tucker, if you go back to Africa, you may never come back. If you go to Africa, you may never come home." J.W. Tucker looked at him and said, "God didn't tell me I had to come home. He only told me I had to go." There's a price. There's a price. Young lady lives right here in Arkansas by the name of Megan Fisher. I'm standing there with her. She was 16 years old a couple of years ago when that picture was taken. I went and preached there in her youth service one night. And this young lady gave, I think, $300 one year to Speed the Light. One Sunday morning, a missionary came to her church. It was missionary Scott Long, prison missionary, works with inmates. And he, just in passing, said, "I want to say thanks to Speed the Light. And for those of you that have given to Speed the Light, I want to say thank you, because all of the equipment that we use to do our training for inmates and try to help them grow in their faith and grow in the gospel, everything we use, we have a screen, we have a projector, and we have a sound system." And he said, "Everything we use has come from Speed the Light. And so thank you. Because of you, we are seeing inmates get saved on a regular basis." God struck something in that young lady's heart that day, and she went back home and asked her grandfather if she could get her money and give it to Speed the Light. She had to ask her grandfather, because that's who she was living with at the time, because both her mother and her father are incarcerated right now. And she said, "God put something in my heart that if I will give to this ministry that helps people like my mom and dad Who knows but what this missionary may go to the prison where my mom and dad are incarcerated, and they can hear the gospel and learn about Jesus and make heaven their home. She gave over $300 that year to Speed the Light just because she saw a need. Oh, there's a price that must be paid sometimes. And you know, I've noticed something about the Lord when he deals with me. He hardly ever asks me for something that I do not have. He often asks me for something I'd like to hang on to. Settle down now. Y'all don't get to shouting so loud. There was a little boy in the Bible that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Lord asked him, "What is in your hand?" You might be like the widow that only had a little oil. And the Lord's asking, "What is in your house?" You might be like King David with a great plan to build a temple. And the Lord's saying, "What is in your heart?" Whether it's in your hand, whether it's in your house, or whether it's in your heart, are you willing to give it so that someone can know Jesus? Are you willing to pay the price to be and do what God wants us to be and do? And then finally, there's the power of obedience. When we do what God says, amazing things happen, do they not? This has been a 30-day challenge for Speed the Light here in this local church. And pretty soon, you're going to start hearing reports of what God is doing, not only around the world, but in your own lives personally, those that have been involved. It's going to be a great moment when you see the victories and when you see the power of obedience. Just a few years ago, well, it's been several years ago now, right after I became DYD, Jason Friend, one of our missionaries, contacted me. And he said, I need a Speed the Light sound system. I said, "Okay, Jason, let's talk about it." He said, "I need a sound system that I can take all over South America and set up in soccer arenas and preach in soccer arenas on crusades." I said, "Well, that sounds like a great idea. How much is it?" He said, $100,000. I nearly fell out of my chair. I said, "You need $100,000. He said, "It's got to be a big one to cover everything in that soccer arena." And so I said, "Well, a couple of problems. First of all, number one, we don't have $100,000 right now. And if we did, you're not an Arkansas missionary. You're from Southern California." He said, "Yeah, but Arkansas has so much more money." I'm telling you, that's what he said. He was talking about Speed the Light money, not money in general. I said, "Well, let me see what we can do." I said, "You know, you guys have Los Angeles and San Diego, and we have Cherry Valley and Augusta, but we'll try to help you." And so we did. 5 districts came together, $20,000 each, and we purchased a $100,000 sound system. Louisiana, Arkansas, North Texas, South Texas, and I think Oklahoma. We all came together and pooled our resources, and $20,000, we bought him a sound system. I do have a picture of one of those. That's, he's preaching to those people on that sound system that Arkansas helped provide. But look at the next picture. Look at the next picture. That's the altar call. Hundreds of people in that one service coming to Jesus. And he told me just recently, that's been about 15 years ago, and he said, since that time, he's been able to preach on that sound system. And he said, "I don't know how many I've preached to, but," he said, "we've seen over 100,000 people respond to the altar call, making Christ their Savior." I'm telling you, it's worth it when we see the power of obedience. Hallelujah. It's worth it. Let me go back to Brother Tucker real quickly. J.W. Tucker suffered for Christ, died on the mission field. And then I read a report. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for the man like this to give his life? Let me read this report that I read in the Pentecostal Evangel just a couple of years ago. It was later reported that one of Tucker's converts eventually became the police chief of that village. It prints the village, but I'm not going to even try. It was the homeland. This village was the homeland of the Mangbetas, which is the group that killed J.W. Tucker. The police chief told the people about Tucker's murder and that his body was thrown into their river. The Mangbetu culture considered the land and rivers where they lived to be theirs personally. Since Tucker's blood had flowed through their waters, they believed now they must listen to the message that he carried. Oh, I'm about to shout and it's talking about somebody dying. Mercy. As a result of J.W. Tucker's martyrdom, a great revival swept through the region. Thousands decided to follow Christ, and hundreds experienced divine healing. It was even reported that some were raised from the dead. The Assemblies of God reported 4,700 adult members and other believers in 1964 in Congo when Tucker died. 50 years later, this tally, as a result of the revival, this tally has risen to 570,000 adherents. At least part of this incredible growth in the Congo was due to the sacrifice of J.W. Tucker, who gave his life for the people of the Congo. Is it worth it? Is it? Oh, friend, to obey, it's worth it all. To obey. Would you stand, please, across this room? Hallelujah. Another thing I like about your church, you gave me time to preach. Thank you. I go to some church and get the pulpit at 11:45. But if I ever get invited back, I get more time. They took my time, I'll take theirs. Today, I don't know about the condition of your soul. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. But just for a moment, I'd like to ask you to just close your eyes, bow your heads. Take inventory. Am I living for God? I've preached today so we can motivate people in the church to do something to win the lost around the world. What about you right here in Wynn, Arkansas? Are you ready to go to heaven today? On this beautiful Lord's Day, if this were the last day of your life, where would you go? To eternity. You say, Brother Dane, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. There's sin in my life that separates me from God. And I don't want that to be there. I want Jesus to remove that. There's only one way, and it's by coming to Him. Asking Him to forgive you. Making a decision in your heart and a commitment in your heart that you're going to follow Him the rest of your life. Say, Brother Dane, I don't know if I'd go to heaven today if I were to die. Or if the rapture of the church would take place and all the saints of God evacuate this building in an instant right now. I don't know if I might be left standing here, and I don't want to be that way. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want Jesus to take control of my life. If that's you today and you say, I'm not right with God. I'm not living for God. I'm a sinner.